Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting of June 14th, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda currently posted on the commission's website. Could someone shut that door, please? In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Mr. Berry?
Mr. Einhorn?
Here.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Here.
Mr. Goldsby?
Here.
Mr. Hankins?
Here.
Mr. Streeter?
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, present. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's special meeting June 7th, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, the agenda shows the May 24th and then the June 7th. So I think I'll move the number one first.
Yes.
Yep. So, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the commission's minutes of the regular meeting of May 24th, 2023 for adoption.
Commissioner Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll conduct a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, so I'll now move that we move the minutes for adoption of the Commission's special meeting of June 7th, 2023.
Mr. Streeter. Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll conduct a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when we call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First is FIC 2022-0384, Richard Quint versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Motor Vehicles et al. Are you there, Mr. Quint?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to mark this ready?
Yes.
Okay, is there anyone there from DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles?
Where?
Okay, thank you. We're all set, Mr. Quint. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0082, William Bailey versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al. Is Mr. Bailey there, please? Is there anyone here from the City of Bridgeport?
Yes, Ms. Gale, Office of the City Attorney for the respondents.
Do you wish to be heard, Attorney Scala?
Yes, please.
Mark that ready. Next is docket
number. Thomas Busey for the intervener.
I'm sorry.
And I'd like to be heard.
Attorney Thomas Busey?
Yes.
Spell your last name, sir.
B is a boy, U C C R.
Thank you. And you're the intervener, is that correct?
Yes.
We'll mark that ready, Attorney Busey.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2021-0130, Rachel DeLeon versus Chief Police Department, Town of Greenwich et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Howie Weber, Assistant Town Attorney for the Town of Greenwich.
I'm sorry, counsel, your last name is?
Weber, W-A-D-L-E-R. I asked to hear it on the matter.
Mark that ready.
Thank you.
Is Rachel DeLeon there, please? Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0175, Robert Cushman versus Jason Thody, Chief Police Department, City of Hartford, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing no one present, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0295, Robert Cushman versus Jason Thody, Chief Police Department, City of Hartford, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, this is a dismissal. Seeing no one here, I move adoption of the House report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fisashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0266, Addie Gordon versus Corporation Counsel, Office of the Corporation Counsel, Town of West Hartford, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Addie Gordon, complainant. I wish to be heard.
And good afternoon, James Healy for the respondents. Wish to be heard as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just note that I'm from West Hartford. I also sit as the probate judge in West Hartford. If either party has an objection to me sitting on this matter, I'd be happy to recuse myself. I don't believe I have any problem sitting on this matter. I can be objective. Does either party wish for me to recuse myself?
No.
Okay, thank you. Mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0293, John Goodrich versus Rachel Franco, member, town council, town of Groton, et al. This was withdrawn. Is there anybody here on this matter?
Your Honor, Christy Kelly from the town of Groton. I'm just here observing. I need not be heard.
Okay.
I just want to ensure.
Thank you. It's withdrawn.
Dismissed.
Is John Goodrich there, please? And entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, as you mentioned, this was withdrawn and dismissed. No objection to the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fisashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0314, John Goodrich versus Public Safety Committee, Town Council, Town of Groton, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Your Honor, again, Christy Kelly for the Town of Groton. I have no objection to the hearing officer's report. I need not be heard.
Thank you, Attorney Kelly. Is John Goodrich here on that matter? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. No objection to the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fisashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Next is FIC 2022-0404, Kirk Carr, John Noonan, and John Tartaglia versus Chair, Ridgefield Economic and Community Development Commission, Town of Ridgefield, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Complainant.
Is there anyone else here on that matter?
Jason Buxbaum on behalf of the respondents.
Buxbaum?
Buxbaum.
B-U-C-K?
B-U-C-H-S-B-A-U-M.
Thank you. We'll mark that ready. And last is docket number FIC 2022-0479, Remy Anapa versus Corporation Counsel, City of Meriden, et al.
I'm Holland, H-O-L-L-A-N-D, from Meriden Corporation Counsel. I do not need to be heard. I have no objection to the decisions.
Thank you, Attorney Holland. Does anyone wish to be heard on that matter? Is Remy Anapa there, please? I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. No objection to the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fisashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
I'm going to recuse myself. I was employed there many moons ago. Although no one is requesting that I recuse myself, I've heard them in the past or ruled on them in the past. I figured since the complainant's not here, I'll just recuse myself.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Motion passes. Thank you. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
Sure.
Sure, as the chairman indicated, these proceedings are being recorded in their entirety, and we will make that recording available on our website soon after this meeting, so there's no need to ask that the matter be recorded. If you have any trouble accessing that, just let us know by calling the commission's office. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral arguments 10 minutes per side. I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. So we're calling the first matter, docket number FIC 2022-0384, Richard Quint versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Motor Vehicles. Are you there, Mr. Quint?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to call again. Is anybody here from the Department of Motor Vehicles for the State of Connecticut? Okay, Mr. Quint, you have the floor.
I wrote motor vehicles to try to get a title search of my car that was stolen from me when I got incarcerated. So I'm trying to get the title for the car. They never provided it. Then the car subsequently got sold. I requested all this information prior to it being sold and everything else to try to prevent it from being sold or stolen from me. This is about it. I wanted the title for my car.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Attorney Hyde?
He is not with us
today. All right. Do you want to address Mr. Quint on Attorney Hyde's decision?
Sure. Essentially, the report states that access to the kinds of records that Mr. Quint requested is strictly governed by the statutes governing motor vehicle records in 14-10. And that Mr. Quint at the hearing did not establish that he met the requirements for access under that separate statute. And so the finding is that their statute controls as opposed to the general access provisions under the Freedom of Information Act, and therefore the complaint was dismissed.
And the statute number is could you state the statute number, please?
14-10. There's a few references in 10 that govern, but 14-10F governs the permitted uses.
Is that starting on page 1? Is that 14-C2? F is down, it just starts at the bottom.
Yes, paragraph 11 has 14-10 and C2, which references 14-10 F.
Sir, do you see that in the decision?
Me?
Yes, you, Mr. Quint.
I don't have a copy of the decision with me. I just got pulled out of my cell.
Oh, okay.
I'm a prisoner, so it's on me. I don't know if I received the copy of that decision or not, because I've been having problems with the FOI liaison officer in this facility, not providing me with things on time and everything else, and getting open by myself getting opened by the mail room and all this other stuff when it's supposed to be legal mail and confidential. It's coming from a state agency.
So you needed to comply with that statute. Do you have a pen handy?
Okay. Well, I have no statute books here or anything else, because there's no law library in this facility either.
Can you Google it? Can you use a computer?
What's a Google? I'm in jail.
Okay.
There is none of this. I have nothing available to me. No means or ways or anything to Google anything or do anything else that type of information.
Understood. Hopefully they give you access to the decision, sir.
Well, hopefully I get out of here next week.
That's even more important.
Yeah. I requested all this information for the title prior to this car being sold and everything else to prevent all these issues. Before the statute even became in, I sent them in the title search because I purchased the car from somebody else out of state. I never got the car registered because I got arrested driving it.
Yeah.
And so, I was supposed to, because of COVID, I had to make an appointment to register the car. I got arrested on a Thursday night, and my appointment was for the next Tuesday.
Yeah.
I had the registration, the title, and the insurance card and everything else inside the car, which I didn't know I was supposed to. I should have signed. for.
So we just deal with records, sir.
But, I understand that, but the record of, I wanted a record of the title of the car.
So the statute that's set forth in the decision, which you can get a copy of from this agency if you're able to get it when you get out, references what you need to do at the Department of Motor Vehicles. And you have to fill out, I guess, some forms there to get that. You can't just FOI it. All right?
All right. All right. I have one other question for you since I haven't.
Is it related to this decision?
No, it was related to the last decision you guys made on it with perjured statements. I sent in a copy of the perjured statements.
Yeah.
Showing that the person perjured himself that you accept the testimony out from.
I think you have.
How do you accept the perjured testimony in your hearings?
So I think you're going to have to talk with some of the staff by phone.
Well, I did send the paperwork to Attorney Harmon, or whatever I think she was on.
Okay.
Myself, I sent her a copy of the affidavit from the doctor, even a copy of the transcript, showing that she was lying, that the person was lying about who he was seeing that he was in front of, that I was asking for information about, that was subsequently denied as not being available because it was in front of a Judge Oliver, and not, the person said it was in front of Judge Oliver, and it was actually in front of Judge Westbrook.
Okay.
So that's basically, you signed an affidavit stating that under perjury. So basically the doctor, Corey Fresher, perjured himself when he made a testimony or an affidavit to the commission.
Okay.
So how was that acceptable into the commission?
So what I would suggest is if you have questions after this hearing, you call the clerks of the court, of the commission, and they may be able to guide you. All right?
Yep.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
So.
All right. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move it off the hearing.
Commissioner Hankinson.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fizeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0082, William Bailey versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al. There, Attorney Scalo. You there, Attorney Knutson?
Yes.
So I'm going to ask the parties to wait. Yeah, please. I'll reverse it, that's okay. So I'm just going to ask everyone to introduce themselves, starting with you, Attorney Scalo.
Sure. Dina Scalo, Office of City Attorney for the City of Bridgeport. I'm counsel for the respondents.
Thank you.
Thomas Busey, representing Lonnie Blackwell, the intervener. Mr. Blackwell is sitting to my left. Lonnie Blackwell.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. Would you like to begin, Attorney Scalo?
Sure. And so I'll defer to Attorney Busey with respect to his objections in terms of Captain Blackwell. I know they're a little bit different than mine, but sort of broadly speaking, the city's position is that the proposed final decision is sort of under-inclusive in the findings of what is exempt from disclosure under various statutory authorities, but most specifically with respect to the personal privacy statutory authority in 1210b2. So I think it's fair to characterize a lot of what was claimed under that statutory exemption, which, you know, as a reminder for everybody, is material that is not of legitimate public concern and would be highly offensive to a reasonable person if it was made public. So most of the material that we had claimed under that exemption pertained to third parties who are not, as far as we're aware, not public employees, third parties throughout both the quote-unquote Blackwell sets of records and the Polite sets of records, but most specifically within the Polite records. They're materials pertaining to friends and family and witnesses or complainants or victims, but individuals who are not public employees whose involvement in the records or the underlying incidents are, you know, sometimes at most tangential, and really just sort of the presence of their names in the documents doesn't necessarily mean that they are subject to the same kind of public disclosure obligations as any other public employee, like myself or Captain Blackwell or Officer Polite, now Detective Polite, would be. So taking the Polite records as an example, and just to be clear on the city's position is not that these records are whole cloth exempt from disclosure due to the personal privacy concerns. They are really very specifically delineated portions of these records video clip, as well as a statement that referenced these third parties, who again are not public employees. They're really kind of, their involvement is limited, and the objections are likewise limited. Really, the ultimate conclusion that, first of all, it wasn't reasonable to consider these matters as worthy of objection in the first place as personal and private, we disagree with that completely. But we also disagree with the ultimate conclusion that simply because the underlying incident involved a matter which was ultimately investigated by the police department and which was, there were findings of fact made by internal affairs, that doesn't necessarily elevate the third-party identities and information concerning them to likewise be a matter of legitimate public concern. You know, it's our position that the commission has the discretion to acknowledge that the record as a whole is a record that is likely disclosable to the public and one of legitimate public concern, while recognizing that insular parts of those records that, again, pertain to third parties that have really nothing to do with this matter or, you know, really have very little involvement other than their names being part of these records, that doesn't necessarily mean that those pieces of information are likewise be characterized as a legitimate public concern. On top of that, you know, we would argue that these are fairly limited portions of the overall records. It applies to both the Polite records and the Blackwell records that are at issue here. And we would say that in terms of just the facially on the face of the records, as well as the case law, the hearing officer's findings as to the personal privacy exemptions in particular are not consistent with the case law. And with that, you know, I'll be glad to answer any other questions that the hearing officers have, but I think that fairly summarizes the city's position as to the entirety of the records that have been requested here. Should the commission ultimately adopt the hearing officer's decision as written with no changes, which includes an order to disclose these records forthwith, we would at the very least ask that time period to produce records be extended between 30 and 60 days. It's sort of touched on here. It's really a rather voluminous set of records here, and given the fact that the initial request was ultimately narrowed and there are findings that show that portions of the record submitted for in-camera inspection are really no longer at issue and they need to be pulled out. There are some redactions that were found to be proper, which would need to remain redacted before disclosing the records to the complainant. We would just ask that additional time be granted to ensure that we're able to provide any such records that are ordered to be disclosed within the appropriate time frame. So that's really all I have. I'm glad to answer any questions, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Attorney Scanlon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. First of all, let me explain that the records of which we're speaking were submitted in camera. We didn't get to view those particular records. But reading from the decision or the proposed decision, it appears that certain records which are covered by the erasure statute will be ordered disclosed, and we object to that. It's our position that any document in the custody of the Bridgeport Police Department, whether it's based upon interviews, court records, or any other origination that referred to any matter that has been erased by state law, should not be disclosed. The hearing officer cites a Supreme Court decision saying the Erasure Act does not obliterate people's memories. But that case dealt with testimony, and there's a clear distinction between testimony and records. In this case, we're talking about records, and there's no question that these are documents referring to matters in my client's past that by state law, by state statute, have been erased. The court opinion, the Superior Court case, which is not cited, but it's the most recent case on this point, and it deals with the Freedom of Information Commission. It's Commissioner versus Freedom of Information Commission. It decided August 20th, 2019, by Judge Huddleston, and it laid out the factors to be determined in whether such documents should be released. If the document discloses when or where a person may have been arrested, or the nature of the circumstances surrounding the crime charge, or the names of witnesses from whom further information may obtain, those records can't be disclosed. The decision of the hearing officer would allow these records to be disclosed under the rationale that it discloses or relates to the decision-making authority in making decisions as to who or who should be a police officer. That doesn't overcome the Erasure Act. The Erasure Act keeps these records and anything relating to the records from public disclosure. And there's precedent for that. Again, there is a distinction between records and testimony. The Supreme Court issued a ruling saying testimony in which referral to records may be acceptable on a case-by-case basis, but it didn't extend it to records or documents that are in the possession of the agency, the police agency. And that's what we're talking about here, records in the police agency's possession. If there's any questions, I'll address them.
Just a quick question. When were those records erased?
Those records at least 18 years ago.
Thank you.
Attorney Alicia Harmon, I was the hearing officer in this case. So just to start generally, these were two sets of complicated records with complicated claims of exemption. So I got the in-camera records in, reviewed the administrative record and all the testimony, reviewed the in-camera records multiple times, and reviewed the law. And I think the commission will see that if a claim of exemption was raised, but I didn't think it had been proven, but I thought there was an indicia of evidence, but not quite enough to prove the exemption, I asked the respondents for an affidavit. So for example, in paragraph 53, I had records that were claimed exempt pursuant to the attorney-client privilege, but I really didn't have all the evidence that I thought I needed. The hearing was closed, but I specified the records, and there was a lot of them, asked the respondents to give me an affidavit on attorney-client privilege. I marked that as a post-hearing exhibit, and I found the records exempt. With regard to the erased records, I made three piles of records. Records that were clearly not erased, records that were clearly erased, and records for which I had a question mark in my mind. Again, in paragraph 80, I listed those records for the respondents that I had a question mark about because I didn't have enough evidence to find that they were erased, and I asked them to submit an affidavit. And I marked that as a post-hearing exhibit. Based on the affidavit that I received from the respondents, most of the records for which I had a question mark, based on the testimony I received in the affidavit, I found were erased. In paragraph 74 and 75 of my report, I make a few observations about the limitations of the erasure statute. So basically, I note that erased records are not destroyed. They're required to be segregated. That identifying information, such as fingerprints and mugshots, according to a decision in the West case, is not considered to be pertaining to the charge. And if the arrestee does not request the return of such identifying information or is not entitled to the return of such identifying information,
those records are not deemed to be pertaining to the charge, and according to the West decision, those records are not erased. And then I note in Rado that the Supreme Court stated, and this is a quote, that the erasure statute was not intended to obliterate memory or to exclude any testimony not shown to have been derived from erased records. So the erasure statute does not erase personal knowledge that does not come from erased records. And I think that in responding, I think I'll respond first to counsel's objection to my immediate right. In the objection, they say that the Rado decision only allowed for the use of testimony about erased records. And then another argument is that the hearing officer's report, the recommendation before this commission, relies on cases that address testimony and not records. And then there's the statement that says there is a complete absence of authority for the proposition that records referencing a crime that has been dismissed or nullied are exempt from the erasure statute and are subject to disclosure. I think that, with all due respect, counsel misunderstands the effect of the erasure statute. In Rado, the case that I cited, a teacher was arrested for eavesdropping, criminal eavesdropping. The teacher was prosecuted, and the case, she was acquitted. But the teacher was on suspension, and the Board of Education assembled a panel to consider whether the teacher should be dismissed. The panel made a recommendation to the full board that although there was sufficient evidence to terminate the teacher, much of the evidence they believed was erased and shouldn't be considered. And that erased information was testimony from an inspector from the state's attorney's office and testimony from two employees of the telephone company. They made that recommendation to reinstate the teacher to the full board of education, and the board disagreed. And the board found that the testimony of the inspector and the testimony of the employees of the electric company, or the telephone company, sorry, could be considered. And of course, it was appealed to the Superior Court, which upheld the Board of Education's decision, and then finally appealed to the Supreme Court. And what the Supreme Court said was that with regard to the state's attorney's testimony, when he investigated the allegations that there had been eavesdropping, he made notes in a personal notebook. And before he testified, he referred to that notebook to refresh his recollection. And the court said that the personal notebook of the inspector was not a record of a law enforcement agency within the meaning of 54-142A, and that therefore that record wasn't erased. And his testimony, having consulted that non-erased record, was permitted. With regard to the telephone company's employees, they didn't use any record. They just testified from their memory. And then they said that the erasure statute was not intended to obliterate memory or to exclude testimony not shown to have been derived from erased records. I think that what the court was getting at is that you can't consult an erased record and create a new record based on that erased record. But the record itself has to be erased pursuant to the provisions of 54-142A. And I think that, you know, Judge Huddleston in that case gets, in that case, which is different from this case, she says that the records that were requested in the case before her concerned a Freedom of Information Act request for police records created during the investigation of a homicide. And then she referred to the standard she wanted the commission to use, which was the standard set forth in West. But she said that the erasure statute includes transcripts, police reports, charging documents, and other records covered by the erasure statute. So if there are records that are erased, you can't refer to the erased records and create new records. But in terms of history and facts, I think that a case that really kind of gets to the point of the difference between an erased record and testimony about an erased record, information coming from memory, is set forth in a case called Martin, which was written by Judge Levine in 2000. And in the Martin case, the complainant claimed that he was the victim of a defamatory television commercial. And the commercial had represented that the plaintiff had been arrested for sexually assaulting a woman at gunpoint. And the plaintiff argued that the statement that he was arrested is false in its entirety because the arrest was deemed to never have occurred pursuant to the erasure statute. The court said, assuming that the erasure statute applied to the underlying arrest, the plaintiff's argument evidences a fundamental misunderstanding of the scope and effect of the erasure statute. The erasure statute operates in the legal sphere, not the historical sphere. The erasure statute does not and could not purport to wipe from the public record the fact that certain historical events have taken place. And then it quotes the Rado case and says the erasure statute was not intended to obliterate memory or to exclude any testimony not shown to have been derived from erased records. The erasure statute is powerless to eradicate from the historical record the fact that the plaintiff was arrested for sexual assault. The statement that the plaintiff was arrested for sexual assault because a true statement of a historical fact is not defamatory. And I guess the point is, I was very, very careful in this case to segregate the records from what is erased, from what isn't erased, and from what I had a question about. And I looked at the records multiple times. I've signed them out so that the commissioners can take a look at them if they want. But I don't think the distinction is between testimony that comes from memory in the form of testimony and memory testimony, memory information in general. A record is erased if it pertains to the underlying criminal charge. A record that consults a record that's erased is also erased. But if someone has a memory of an event, you can't erase that memory. And I was extremely careful with these records, with the claims of privilege, with the limitations that the complainant set forth. So that's what I have to say about the erasure statute. With regard to...
So you're saying that the records in question are records of testimony about records that were erased?
No. If a record is created with reference to an erased record, that record would also be erased. If a record is created, so for example, if I applied for a job with Homeland Security and in the process of deciding whether I was qualified for that job, the Department of Homeland Security sent the FBI to my neighborhood to knock on my neighbor's doors and see what kind of person I was, which is a true thing. This happened. And if my neighbors remembered that I had been arrested in front of my mom's house or that I had been arrested down the street, that information about their memory, it doesn't have any reference to an erased record. It is a memory that they have about an event that occurred which didn't occur. But I'm saying that if someone has a memory, a record is created from that memory, that record that's created from that memory, which is not in reference to an erased record, is not erased. And I was extremely careful with these records. You'll see that they are dog-eared and really looked through. And even if there was a part of the record that I thought was erased, I gave counsel for the City of Bridgeport an opportunity to provide an affidavit. An affidavit was provided, and I recognized the testimony in that affidavit. I counted it and found those records exempt. I hope that answers your question, Mr. Chairman. Any other? With regard to the privacy exemption, with regard to the polite records, the only testimony with regard to those records was Officer Polite's testimony. And he testified So these are two sets of records, a videotape of an incident, multiple videos actually, and then a statement to the Office of Internal Affairs within the police department about the incident. And he testified that, you know, the records shouldn't be disclosed because they pertain to personal matters, such as the name of family members and friends, and records that reveal the images of people who witnessed the underlying incident or captured people's vehicles. And that basically, that because the incident occurred off duty, the records shouldn't be erased. I only had his testimony with regard to those two records. But, you know, I went through the case law about the importance of an investigation concerning a public employee, particularly a police officer, and that the public does have a legitimate interest in those investigations. And I didn't find that the information within there was related to family matters or domestic matters or events not related to law enforcement activities. I think the underlying event concerned the activity of a police officer, the investigation concerned those actions, and what was revealed in those records were people at the scene of the incident and how they did or didn't react to what occurred. And I didn't think that that was the kind of invasion of personal privacy information that we would redact out. I think it's really relevant to see the entire records, and I thought that it was much easier to make a recommendation to the commission on the plight records than the records. The other set of records were much more complicated. I have one suggested amendment and then a second with regard to what Attorney Scalo has stated. In paragraph 104 of the report, I believe there's 104 paragraphs, I want to keep the paragraph, but I just want to add a dash because the order refers back to paragraph 104, so I want it to be really, really clear what I'm saying has to be disclosed. And so after the word complainant in 104, which is the last word, I would remove the period and add a dash and say that is IC-2020-0082-1-P through IC-2020-0082-51-P and IC-2020-0082-52-P videos. And this just refers back.
Could you repeat that, please?
Sure, I can try. So after the word complainant, which is the last word in paragraph 104, I would remove the period, add a dash, and say, so I'm just explaining what the records are. So dash, that is, comma, IC-2020-0082-1-P through IC-2020-0082-51-P and IC-2020-0082-52-P videos. Just to clarify what I'm ordering, because the reference back to 104 I thought was not as clear as it could be. And then with regard to Attorney Scalo's request that...
Before we move to
I'm sorry.
A motion on that, and then I requested an amendment.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'd like to make an amendment to paragraph 104 of the hearing officer report, adding the clarifying language as described by the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hankin, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on that amendment? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call of those in favor of the amendment only. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. The amendment passes unanimously.
So one more amendment to recommend based on Attorney Scalo's request. So in the first order, I would recommend that we take out the word forthwith and rewrite that order to say, within 45 days of the notice of final decision, comma, the respondent shall disclose to the complainant and then continue, which would be the appeal period. And I think it makes sense because there are a lot of things to be redacted. I could repeat that if you want, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry. If I may, you wanted 45 or 60.
I said between 30
can you live with 45?
45 is fine.
My math tells me it's...
That's right. 45 is fine.
All right.
Okay. Do you want me to repeat that, Commissioner? So I would, in the first order, I would remove the word forthwith, and then I would start this order out by saying, within 45 days of the notice of final decision, comma, the respondent shall disclose, and then I would continue that order.
I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, in order one of the hearing officer's report, I would suggest the amendment according to what the hearing officer said, removing the word forthwith, and then starting the order within 45 days of the notice of decision, and then continuing with the respondent shall disclose to the complainant.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on the second amendment? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of the second amendment only. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Kuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Those two amendments pass unanimously.
I don't have anything else to say unless the commissioners have questions for me.
Before we take questions, I'd like to take a break and look at some of the documents, unless you need to go forward.
One question I just had. Attorney Harmon, you put them in three piles, right?
Yes.
Kind of like Goldilocks or something.
Yes.
One of the piles, though, would be like in paragraph 82. Some items you did find, in fact, were erased and therefore exempt.
Yes. And yesterday, because they were all in different piles, I thought it would be better for the commissioners if I put them back from 1 to 307. Yeah. And so I did that. I didn't think it would be useful for the commissioners to have them all segregated out the way I had them.
Thank you.
Can I just ask the question just for clarification? Talking about the records pertaining to the intervener, Blackwell records, looks like you had a few hundred pages.
307.
Okay. So of those, just as an estimate, how many roughly did you find not to be exempt pursuant to any of these provisions? Is it a small number or a large number?
I think the paragraph 80, if we go to paragraph 80, you can get a sense. So in paragraph 77, I found those records not erased. And then I had, in paragraph 76, records that were clearly erased. So those were the piles, right? 76, 77, erased, not erased. And then in paragraph 79, as you see, it runs 79 are the question mark records, right? So it runs from 17, all of 18, and 19. And then if you see in paragraph 83, based on Attorney Scalo's provision of the affidavit, it wasn't her affidavit, but look, I find all of these records, let me see where I am. Based on the affidavit, 82. Based on the affidavit, I find those records exempt, and then the remainder are not exempt. But most of the records, in fact, the complainant narrowed the scope, and they were really, really personal information. Things that had to do with school or, family, and all of those were pulled from most of the records, I think, were pulled as really non-responsive based on the narrowing of the request.
Mm-hmm. Right, we can take a 10-minute break to review these records.